And our last speaker this afternoon will be his oldest son, Steve.
Wow. There's people standing in the back. That's very impressive. I will do my best. Left my tissues down below. First, on behalf of my mother, my wife, my daughter Rachel, and my brother Andy, thank you all for all your support, your prayers, your love you've given us during the last month. From your phone calls, emails, home and hospital visits, food, excursions away from the hospital, and presence here today, we really, truly thank you for being such great friends. And as many of you have told me that we're family, by now you've heard that my father has lived a very full but difficult life. His Holocaust experience definitely affected and shaped his life. But what I find most admirable is that he never used this tragic childhood as a crutch or as an excuse. Instead, he was gentle. Kind, frank, courageous, and extremely hardworking. In my eyes, my dad was the hardest working man I know. Nothing was ever given to my dad. He earned every cent, every karma point, and he built his reputation when he arrived in the United States with nothing at the age of 17. He built upon his strong values and education with a relentless focus on extremely hard work and perseverance. Now, just like the support you're providing me and my family today, my dad got some terrific support through the years, which enabled him to accomplish and grow. First, OZE, which you've heard about a lot. Then his foster family in Switzerland, who encouraged him to write down his experience, which is his memoir, Volume 1, and to continue his Jewish education and to be a kid. Also, people that helped him were his relatives and the strangers here in the United States who brought him over and cared for him. His many mentors and bosses, which he speaks of in his post-war memoir he started 4 months ago, who saw a young, smart, and eager employee and later manager. And finally, my mom, who 47 and a half years ago committed her unconditional love and support. This was more than tested as he worked long hours at restaurants, switched jobs away from the restaurant business to a commission-only sales position you've heard about. And about 40 years ago, it was really tested. Raising both me and my brother. Okay, maybe mostly me. My dad and mom worked very hard to make our life better and their own. And dad continues to this day with his sound investments and the documentation of his experiences through his memoirs. We were not rich, but we always had sports gear, school tuition, summer camps to go to, food, and clean, holeless clothes to start the day off with. Not that we ended the day off with it. My dad was also also at every one of our sporting games growing up. My dad treated other people with respect and fairness. Any inequality or injustice was just unacceptable. And this was especially true no matter who the person was, their role, or position. I have a few memorable moments with my dad, which I'd like to share with you to give you some insight on how I experienced my dad. Some of the strongest memories I have, and I think many of you also have, are those small conversations you had with my dad in which a pearl of wisdom or when he shared a story. One such story is Dad occasionally shared with me that while he was out on sales calls here in the valley, an anti-Semitic remark was made to him when he sold lights. Some were direct. Others were more subtle, like, "We buy from someone at our church," which he knew wasn't true. In all cases, Dad told me he responded by saying, "Thank you for your time and have a good day." I will also never forget my first and last hangover, New Year's 1985. Thank you, Kirk. Thank you, Aaron. Both are here. When I arrived home at about 8 a.m., the morning after staying up much of the night at the Rose Parade, drinking warm burgundy wine, and having to work at the supermarket, which started at noon, Dad gave me a little sympathy, gave me some coffee, and put me back to bed. Then he said, "I'll wake you up at 11:30 so you can go to work." I quickly responded, "No way. I'm going to call in sick." Without a hesitation, he said, "No, you're not. You made a commitment, and you're going to work." I made triple time that day. There were also family vacations every summer. Dad's pride glowed. During our most recent trip to Europe for his 80th birthday, the time we spent with relatives in England and Switzerland were invaluable, and the joy he got being at the top of a Swiss mountain after a long gondola ride is just unimaginable. He truly appreciated natural beauty, whether it was the scenic vista of Switzerland, Yosemite, or just one of his roses. But it's the little things I'm going to miss most. Like not being laughed at when I called him to ask how long it takes to bake a baked potato. Or, as happened last month, right before he went to the hospital, someone to call while I sat in front of an open electrical switch box, asking for his help which wire colors to pair up, because none of them matched the instructions. And his words of wisdom when he said, "Just start try connections. You'll know really quickly if you try if you try something and it isn't correct." It's those little things and little moments I'm going to miss. Dad loved making others happy through his work in the kitchen and in the garden. Recent favorites were his roses, tangerine and blood orange juice, apple fritters, as mentioned, his chicken soup that Mom added matzo balls to for the best chicken matzo ball soup in the world, and his blackberry jam. He took such pride in everything he did, cooked, and made. In preparing for this talk, I realized that Dad did not walk into a room and demand attention. Instead, it was through his gentle nature, incredible approach, that he won over people and groups. My cousin Larry wrote from Virginia this week that Dad consciously made sure that he left the world a much better place than he found it. And I agree. He clearly did so by the support he gave others, the stories he shared privately, the memoirs he's written for me, my brother, my family, Rachel and Ruth, and future generations, and through the thousands of lives he's touched public speaking. To summarize, Dan Stanek summarized it well during a conversation we had this week. After my dad's death, "Your dad was a great man," Dan said. "You were lucky to have him as a father." Dan, I agree. I could not have said it better. Dad, thank you for the acceptance, the love and support you gave to Mom Andy, Ruth, Rachel, and me. We will always love you.